thank you so much for joining us on a Thursday evening, and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the country. So while you're struggling like I am right now for clean air, we'll be caching in the Northwest. And we can't do that until we bring in our formerly funky monkey. Some say he lives in an igloo year-round. And others say he will DJ your party. You didn't hire him, but he will DJ your party. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, good to see you, my good friend.
Why, thank you so much. It's good to see you.
Yeah, nice to talk with you and all of our friends over in the chat. And we've got somebody else special we're going to be talking with tonight, and that's Peach from Peach and Pete. Welcome back to the show, Peach.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, you know what? We also want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Limax, Team Squirrel, and worldcaching.com. Now, folks, if you want to know more about supporting the show, click the old Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. Now, for tonight's show, the reason we have Peach here joining us is we're going to talk about the Auburn Geocaching Adventure 2017.
That sounds like it could be this year.
That is probably this year. Mm-hmm. However, before we get started, we want to remind you that, as always at the beginning of this show, it's time to see who has earned Log of the Week badge. So, what do we have, Chris of the Northwest?
Well, what we have is what we call the glow. Whether you wrote it or you read it, we want to hear about it. Because, let me tell you, great logs simply make geocaching better. Send an email, like IHAM did, to feedback@cachingnw.com. You know, you can always call into 253-693-TFTC or use the voicemail tool on the website. And there's even one more way. You know, you could record it on your smartphone, then email that file to us. All these ways work to show us how you glow. Now, as I mentioned, tonight's glow is brought to you by IHAM. He said, here's his log from monitoring station. That's GC74 Mike Charlie Romeo. I paused there for a moment. Mike Charlie Romeo. It starts off with wow, just wow. Hidden in plain sight only begins to describe this one. But now I'm curious. How does the monitoring station data get back to the collection point? I don't see any evidence of Ethernet cables, Wi-Fi, nor satellite antenna. Are you using quantum data packets for geocaching monitoring? That would be very cool. Either way, it's good to know that geocache in this neighborhood are being properly monitored. Since you are monitoring, you already know that the cache is dry and the logbook is in good shape. And the favorite point count has been incremented. TFTC.
Very nice.
So if there's a milestone cache that you happen to be celebrating, or maybe it could be a DNF, we did our DNF stories, why not call it in to 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community? Guess what?
What?
IFH Ref did just that. He called in a DNF story.
All right.
Shall we have a listen?
Let's have a listen.
Hey, it's IFH Ref from Salem, Oregon. I know I'm a little late on the DNF stories for the August contest, but hey, I figured I had one that was kind of fun for you. Well, it's not all that interesting, I don't think, but on November 12th, 2014, I was forced to DNF a cache GC31 X-ray 9 Victor, some monster bass trailhead outside of Independence, Oregon. Now, as I said, DNF wasn't all that interesting. What was interesting is what came of the necessity to DNF. Well, during the process of looking for this cache, I kind of tweaked my back a little bit. And over the next couple of days, it got progressively worse. Now, what this necessitated was that I need to call my boss, as it were. I'm a soccer referee, referenced in my cache name by the art ref. And I had to actually beg off my Oregon State Championship soccer, the high school finals. There you go. I missed out on quite the honor because, well, I figured caching in the days leading up to that was a wise idea. So hope all is going well. Have a great time. Keep caching, and we'll see you on the trails.
There we go. Well, thank you very much, IFA Ref, for sending that in, and we hope your back is feeling better.
Well, Land Monkey, apparently he didn't take both parts of your typical advice. Just
well,
the first part. Just the second part.
Just the second part?
Yeah. He ignored cash the first off. Part.
There you go. Cash safely and cash often.
There
good
you
advice.
Go.
Rarely followed. All right. Well, you know what? We've got some stories here we want to share. And as has already been mentioned in the chat there, about the air quality out here. Well, you know, we want to share that in the nine western U.S. states, there's a count currently of 80, at least I would say, forest fires burning, 24 alone in Washington and Oregon. So, you know, for those who are affected by those fires, were relocated because of them, those who've lost property, those who are risking their lives fighting them, our prayers are with you guys. Of particular interest to those who are in our immediate listening audience is the Norse Peak Fire. Now, I heard about this one the other night on the news, and we had just cached in this area while we were doing the Rainier Geo Tour series.
In fact, this is the reason my Earth cache can no longer be found at the moment.
Right. Yeah, the Norse Peak Fire. 18,822 acres. Growth on the fire has occurred on both sides of Norse Peak, pushing west over the Pacific Crest Trail and threatening Crystal Mountain Ski Resort and nearby communities. And there's a lot of communities in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of scary. To the east, the fire crossed the eastern wilderness boundary north of Hell's Crossing. Spotting has occurred in the southern region of the fire with increased fire activity along State Road 410. I think that's the road that your earth cache is on.
Exactly.
And work along 462, 410, and 1900 will continue today. So, wow. Scary. Just scary stuff, man.
It really is. And to accentuate that, I found a story from Spokane about a group of people that got stuck and trapped, actually, by the Eagle Creek fire. So a Spokane family was in the Eagle Creek area, Punchbowl Falls, waded in the cool water. You know, they walked 1.9 miles into there and were spending a wonderful day. Word quickly spread that the trail they had hiked in on is now blocked by fire. So as it worked out, over 140 hikers were huddled together and found themselves cut off from escape, and they decided that they would stay together as a group, and they ended up having to stay the night in the forest because they could not move successfully in the dark. Around 3 a.m., one of the rangers found their way to them and brought them some supplies, waters and blanket and what have you, and found a safe place for them to stay the night. They got up in the morning and firefighters had gotten their way into them, but they couldn't evacuate them by air. They ended up having to walk 11 miles out through another way.
So, Chris, just to interrupt for a moment on that story, you know, we have often talked to people on the podcast and told them about carrying the 10 essentials and all the things you need to do in case you get trapped somewhere. But if you're doing a 1.9 mile trail, you're probably not going to be thinking about that. And I wouldn't blame the hikers for not having the 10 essentials on them for such a short trail. You figure you're just out doing a day hike, you know, I've got a few bottles of water, a hat,
mm-hmm. maybe sunblock. I mean, their goal was to walk this short distance in, swim at a pool or, in a natural pool there with a waterfall and walk back out.
Yeah.
That was their plan for the day. So they didn't bring any blankets. They didn't bring enough water. Luckily, one person in that group of 140 had prepared for something like this, had water purification utilities and gave them enough water to drink.
Wow.
But, 143 hikers had to walk 11 miles out. So there's... one family that says they will never be unprepared again. Mm. They've got a pack that they went out and bought after this situation that they will always have with them. So, we talk about being prepared.
Too, it sounds like
being prepared, and sometimes we're not. I can tell you a story just recently where I was not prepared. So even if I talk about it, it doesn't mean I do it.
There you go. It happens to the best of us.
It happens to me. And I'm not the best of us.
It's debatable. All right. Mm. Well, you know what? We want to thank Peach for being patient as we got through all of our stories there that we wanted to share with everybody else. And just a reminder to everybody that, be as prepared as you can, but just be expecting the unexpected, especially this time of year with all the fires we're getting. All right. Well, Peach, thank you so much for waiting for us. And, let's start talking about what you have to share with us.
Okay. It's no problem on waiting at all. You've been talking about some very important subjects, so it's only right that I wait my turn.
Well, one of the subjects that we feel is very important is this Auburn Caching Adventure 2017. That's GC7 Alpha Yankee Charlie November. Sorry, it got long and I lost that. Now, last year, the geocaching adventure was hampered a bit by this storm of the century that never really showed up. I think it must have scared at least a few people away. Even though I felt the event was well attended, overall, how did it go last year? And did you give all those coins away?
Well, it went very well for the approximately 65 or so people that did attend, were brave enough to come in regardless of that there was this windstorm. I did lose a big amount of people that had planned to come. I had some of them over in the peninsula. I had some from central and eastern Washington. None of those were willing to come because they weren't sure they could get back home. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that maybe this year we can draw in some additional folks from around the state or very nearby, such as Oregon or up in Canada. I did have some from Canada last year that were there. And I think I had some Oregon people that were there also.
Mm-hmm. I think you did. I think I met one or two of those.
Right. The first year in 2015, we had 150 coins, and because we had between 150 and 200 people there at that event, I was thinking we would have a huge attendance maybe in 2016. So we went to 300 coins instead of 200, thinking that we would need to grow the event. There have been people doing it all through the year, but we still have over 100 coins that are available to be earned. So people are certainly invited to continue to do the 2016 event if they haven't completed it. There are plenty of coins left, and I would love. And I see yours right back there on that coin shelf.
I was going to say, I went that looking one. For it.
It's the airplane.
There you go. That was last year's coin.
Very nice.
And very nicely done.
And just wait till you see this year's.
All right. Well,
I was going to say, did I?
Speaking of this year, last year you focused on the parks in Auburn, and it was the 125th anniversary of the city. That's pretty impressive. What's the focus this year?
2017 will highlight public art in and around the city of Auburn. There's some in public areas around the town, as well as some that are in parks. And we may have some caches. I'm pretty sure we will have some that are non-art placements, but the majority of our caches do have direct connections to various pieces of art.
Nice. And there are some good art pieces. Well, there are many art pieces, I should say, in downtown Auburn. I was impressed with that in the last 2 years of doing it.
Yes.
Now, how many new geocaches will there be to find this year? And really what I'm asking, Peach, can you give us any inside secrets on any of these caches?
Well, there will be 20 new caches this year. And we continue to try to step up our game and lure more people to our little event by adding a variety of different caches. Last year, we added a puzzle cache, and we still had one or two multi-caches. This year, I know I'll have a couple of multis and at least one puzzle. But the new addition that I know of this year is we're going to have a letterbox cache. And there will be at least one, maybe more, gadget-type caches that are really becoming the growing thing.
Oh, I like those gadget caches.
Very cool, yes. So we know the caches will be there for the entire year. But there's also a big kickoff event. When and where is that? And is there a GC code for that event?
Yes, the big kickoff is Saturday, September 30th. We'll open at 8 a.m. with the caches being published at 9 a.m. We'll have some light refreshments there and maybe a few prizes to give away as we have done in the past 2 years. And I'll have someone there that'll be available to download caches to GPS units if there are those that only use a GPS unit. I think that most of these caches are accessible using a cell phone because I think all the areas are in cell phone coverage, capability.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, if you have Canadians visiting you, they might want to cache by GPS because it can be expensive for us to roam.
Oh, how true. But Canadians roam nonetheless. Cost does not seem to be a factor to stop the Canadians from roaming, as I have seen. Maybe on cell phones, but not across our great land.
Yes. Go ahead.
I was going to say you asked for the GC code. Again, that's GC7 Alpha Yankee Charlie November.
Yes. And I don't know all those code word names, so I'm not going to be able to say that properly when I do. There is one other event.
Yes.
Prior to the Saturday event, on Friday night, we're going to have a eat, greet, and meet. And I'm putting the final touches on that. I've narrowed it down to two possible places, and I'll make a decision by tomorrow and finish it up and get this one published. I tried to do this last year, and when the great windstorm came up, we just canceled out our night cache that we were going to have because the winds were forecast to be so bad, and we did not want to put people out in harm's way. But we are going to have a night cache this year. And I've been working with Goblin Dust, who has a very good reputation for night caches. And between he and I, we're going to pull this off. And it's going to be in downtown Auburn. So our event is going to be held in downtown Auburn on Main Street somewhere. And I'll announce that formally when the Friday night event cache publishes. It'll start around 6 p.m. and then we'll probably have the night cache go live about 7 or 7:30 whenever darkness. I've got to check my calendar and see when the darkness begins. But the code on this event, it's not published yet, but once it's published, it will be GC7, C as in Charlie, I know that one, the number 2, P as in Paul, M as in Mary.
Nice. That's GC7, Charlie, 2, Papa Mike.
Thank you.
I've learned this over the last year. It's something that I've pushed myself to learn. So that Friday night event is going to happen, obviously, Friday night, September 29th, 6 o'clock, downtown Auburn. And 7:30, you're going to publish the night cache from Goblin Dust. That will be nice. You know what? I think I'll make it up for that.
Good.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
We have very much appreciated your support during the last two events, and we would love to have you there.
Oh, thanks. It's fun. You guys throw a good event, and that's one of the reasons I like to have you on the show. I mean, it's one of the good geocaching events in Western Washington. So now, Peach, let me ask you something. You've worked now with the Parks and Rec Department of Auburn, the city of Auburn and the Parks and Rec Department for a while. How did you get connected with them? And exactly how long have you been working with them?
Well, I've worked with them since 2014. I had just started working as a parks liaison with the WSGA with Kent Parks, where I live. And I was contacted by Abby Wolf, who was president of the WSGA at that time, and said that they had received word from Auburn Parks because they wanted someone to teach some geocaching 101 classes. And she said, "You're not their liaison, but you're very close by. Could you take care of this too?" So I went and met with them, and Pete and I taught 2 or 3 classes. And during the process of these classes and visiting with Rick Bruyer, our parks contact, he said, "You know, we really want to increase geocaching in our Auburn parks because we think it's a great way for families to get out and do something together. And it's not that expensive for them to do that." He said, "How do you think we can do this? Can we do some kind of a geocaching tour?" And I said, "Well, we can't really do a geo tour, but we can do a geocaching adventure because you have to have an awful lot of support from different sources to be able to officially call it a geo tour." And so we put together the first project in 2015, followed by the one last year. And so this is our third year.
Here's the 2015, here's the 2016 coin, or yeah, I got those right, 2015, 2016 coin, and I'll have to add 2017 when I get it this year. I have to earn it.
I see a distinct travel theme there.
Well, perhaps. Yes, the railroads. Auburn is a big railroad town.
Yes.
And last year was, well, because Boeing has a big impact on Auburn.
Makes sense.
So, yes, it is a travel theme, but not implicitly.
Very good.
Yes. See, Limax is thinking the right way. This year needs to have a car on the coin, so you have trains, planes, and automobiles.
Automobiles.
And it would be in that order.
Well, I'm afraid it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Too late.
You know.
All right.
Thanks, Limax. I hadn't seen that until just now.
Very clever. As always, our chat room is just full of wisdom. All right. You know what? Full of something. Peach, question for you. This event seems to draw people from Oregon and Canada and all over Washington State for those folks who have to travel a fair distance, what can they do to figure out their overnight stay?
Well, I plan to add information and a link or two to the event cash listing that will be talking about hotels. I'm hoping that I'll have this up in a day or two, and they can always click on my name as the owner of that event cache and write me a personal note, and I'll be happy to answer information that way also.
Very cool. Thank you.
Nice.
Good to know.
So, quickly recap. 2017 kicking off September 30th. There's a Friday night prior event, September 29th, with a Goblin Dust night cache. I mean, there's the reason to go to the 29th right there. If you have time and energy, there are still 2016 coins to be earned. Peach, will you have those passports available, or is it something the cashier should come equipped with?
No, we'll have them there. We will give them out at the release point that morning. That'll be the first time they're available. And after that, they will be available at the park's office there in Lescove Park, which is open extensively because they have a lot of things going on at that location for longer hours of the day and evening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say that I have three new cash owners this year that I'm pleased to bring in. And one of those, like I said, was Bounce Bounce, who has become real popular in our area with his caches. And so I'm really looking forward to see what he's going to present, as well as some of these other amazing cash owners that I have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have had great caches on these on the last 2 years. And, you know, I expect nothing less this year. No pressure.
No pressure. Hey, Peach, we had a question. Peach, sorry, we had a question that came up in the chat. I think it's a great question from Team Finn Cameron. I just want to ask that of you. The question is, will the cash pages themselves have the links to the passports after September 30th?
I can certainly try and go back and get the various cash owners to add that back in. I'll make a note of that and try to make sure that they go back and do that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Good suggestion.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because the caches are there to stay for at least a year, if not longer. So, you know, if you don't happen to go to the kickoff event September 30th, those caches are still going to be there. You can get them throughout the year.
Absolutely.
Iham adds that tonight's glow was a Bounce Bounce cache. So
yes, it was.
The monitoring station, I happen to do that with Iham, and that's one of those caches you look at and you go, wow, how do you do this? So there you go. Utterly fantastic.
Very cool. All right.
So, Peach, thank you so much. We appreciate all the work that you put into the Auburn Geocaching Adventure each and every year. And we appreciate that you came on the show tonight to talk to us.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate very much the support that I get from caching in the Northwest each year.
We're happy to help. But, you know, she mentioned caching in the Northwest. And you know what? Caching in the Northwest is a podcast. You probably have figured this out because you're listening to it now. But we have more episodes coming up.
Do we?
Yes. Next week, we are going to talk with Geocaching HQ about how summer 2017 went for them.
Right. Well, in fact, I would say, to give a little bit more of a spoiler on that one, not only are we going to talk to them about how summer 2017 went, we're going to talk to them about how 2017 fall is shaping up.
Not just how it went, but how is it going to go?
Yes. They're going to tell us the past and predict the future.
As only Geocaching HQ can.
Exactly.
Week after that, that's September 21st. We are going to talk about our summer 2017. Are you ready for this? Hashtag geocache road trips. September 28th is cruising and caching with the Land Sharks. Land Sharks have a couple of great cruises coming up that you are going to want to be a part of. I already want to be a part of. And Land Monkey, you're going to be a part of.
So, well, yeah, I guess the cat's out of the bag there, but yes.
We're not saying which one. Maybe you need to sign up for both just to make sure you can cruise with the Land Monkeys.
And October 5th.
Yes.
Well, that's leading into my favorite weekend.
Canadian Thanksgiving.
October 5th will be a rant episode when we're going to ask why geocaching.com only has one day that you can earn the souvenir, and it's on our Thanksgiving in Canada. Anyways, October 5th, it's episode 219. We're going to talk about earth caching.
Ah, yes. Earth caching. You love earth caches.
I do. Yeah. Moving on.
Okay. Until next week, because we need to get off this topic.
Yeah.
Peach, where can people find you if they're looking for you?
Like I said, they can go to the event cache that you mentioned.
That's GC7 Alpha Yankee Charlie November.
Right. And click on my name and send me either a message or an email, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that they have.
And if you're planning to go to this event, go ahead, go to that cache listing and click the watch link
it's
there.
Yeah. A good idea to watch that event. And then when if you have notifications for new listings, put that for the Auburn, Washington area. And then when this Friday night event posts, you'll get a notice about that.
There you go.
That sounds like a great idea. I have one question.
Uh-oh.
Because Land Monkey always tries to look at the pessimistic side of things. If you put the event on your watch list, are you going to get an email every time somebody logs a will attend?
Yes.
I'm afraid you probably will.
Yes. Let me tell you a little story.
Okay. Tell me a little story.
I'll put the Ape Cache on my watch list. And that way I'll know when it publishes, you know, that'll be fine. I forgot to take the Ape Cache off my watch list for that weekend. And, well, let me tell you, Gmail's got some great filtering options. I can't tell you. I probably had 700 emails from that. So yeah. Yes, you will get all the fines for it, but if you put it on your watch list, you're going to want to know if anything changes, when the passports are available, things like that. That's a great tool to use just for that.
Yeah, it would be. I'm just thinking if this event is as popular as it's been in the last 2 years, there'll be a lot of will attends and a lot of attended. So that might be a little extra email. But somewhere in the middle, you can find a balance. Watch list is a good idea. Maybe our chat room can be creative and come up with other good ways to make sure that folks keep an eye on GC7AYCN. And
if you do a will attend and there's any announcements, you'll get an email.
That's
on
right.
That.
Then you will get that. Yes, that's another way that if you have logged a will attend and I make another announcement, it will automatically send you that notice.
That seems like the best option.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
There you go. All Land right. Monkey, where can people stalk you upon the interwebs?
Well, we can always be stalked at landmonkey.blogspot.ca. But, of course, encourage people to follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Periscope. We're at LandMonkeyGC. And on YouTube, there's new episodes coming out all the time about monkeys swimming, monkeys climbing, monkeys making fire. You know, just search Land Monkey on YouTube and you will find all kinds of excitement.
I don't know if monkeys should be making fire.
We're good at it.
Just saying.
All right.
Look what's going on right now. No monkeys making fire.
If people wanted to know how Chris of the Northwest makes fire, where would they go?
I don't make fire well. But if you wanted to know how I made fire, I would go to Twitter, Facebook, or Google Plus, any of those places where you can find Caching NW. You know what? Better yet, go to cachingnw.com/hosts and read our bios, look at all those links we just mentioned, and a few we keep secret for those people who only go to that particular website.
There you go. All right. Well, folks, we want to thank you once more for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Remember that you can always be a part of this show simply by calling 253-693-TFTC and leaving us a comment, asking us a question, or emailing us Oxygen any time of the day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Also, your support helps to keep quality shows coming. So if you enjoyed this show, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. As a reminder, this show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license. Copy All Right, 2017 by Chris Umfenauer. And now, good people of the internet, stay tuned for
The After Show.
Ah, there you have it. So this is the part of the show we call the after show because it, you know, is after the regular show. Yeah, we came up with that all on our own.
We're pretty clever.
Yeah. Brian Lang wants to know, how does one email Oxygen? Well, simply take the molecules apart, attach them to email, and I will reassemble them here.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Let's see. I know we had some FATAS. That's the hashtag for the after show. Ah, yes, Team Finn. Ah, young Team Finn says, National Hot Dog Day is this Sunday. Hey. 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Des Moines. Some people say Des Moines. For more information, it's at a hot dog joint, and I've forgotten the name of the hot dog joint. I can, you know, simply click on the link that's provided. That's GC7α24Tango. It's the 24Tango. It's at the Des Moines Doghouse.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, for the dogs. And it's a special birthday celebration for one of the members of Team Finn.
Very nice. So that's, you know, geocachers will once again be in the doghouse is what I'm hearing.
Have you met me? I'm always in the doghouse. And again, that's on Sunday from 11 to 12 in
Sunday,
Des Moines.
Sunday.
In my nitro burning funny car. Sorry.
Your car would be funny if it burned nitro.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got going on here?
You know, I didn't remember that much FATAS. Wait, is there a Land Monkey birthday?
Yeah, there is.
Coming up?
Coming up.
Oh. Happy birthday, Monkey.
Thank you. Yeah, this weekend we're going caching with some friends.
No. Tell me it's not so.
So we did on Mrs. Land Monkey's birthday. Mrs. Land Monkey's birthday, we got an FTF after hiking 21 kilometer return.
Because, you know, that video always coming happens. Soon. What?
It was a crazy hike.
Right. 21 kilometers is like 18,000 miles.
Yes. Approximately.
And, yeah. And you got an FTF. Yeah. Did you go for the FTF on that?
We did. That FTF had been sitting there for 4 years.
How long have you been planning this?
a year.
Okay. Wow.
And nobody scooped it. So four of us went, did the hike.
Wait. Hold it. Time out.
Okay.
How difficult was this hike that nobody's found it in 4 years?
Terrain 4.5, difficulty 5.
Okay, so I just looked. 21 kilometers is a little over 13 miles. So
now that's the return distance. But it took 12 hours because there was a lot of deadfall on the trail, et cetera, et cetera. Hold on. I'll give you the GC code. Because it doesn't sound like you believe me.
I'm in shock, first of all. Not that you would hike 13 miles. That's nothing for you. But that it hadn't been found in 4 years, and it was only a 13-mile hike. Is it 13 miles straight up?
There was a fair bit of elevation. The trail was not maintained whatsoever. It's a difficulty 5, terrain 4.5. It's called Ghost Pass Lake. GC code is GC4ECHO0 Mike Romeo. You see how well I did that, Chris? Are you impressed?
I am so impressed. So, Breitling seems to know all about this. Did you have a posse go with you?
We had a posse go with us. Breitling was invited, but I think he had other commitments.
Okay.
Like his personal safety.
Case so, yes, Mom.
That was. Yeah.
And you, Mudder Clan.
Mulder Clan. Yeah.
Mulder Clan. Sorry, I just scrolled past it quickly. It seems like you took a lot of pictures.
There were a lot of photos taken. There was a fair bit of video. So there will be an episode.
Is this... Okay, I saw a video of you, which was very out of character for you because you were out of breath. I have never seen the monkey hiking when they're out of breath. Was this...
This will be another one like that.
Okay.
I mean, it depends, right? I mean, if you're doing... So which one were you looking at where I was out of breath? Was that the one where I'm swimming?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was a Dennett Lake Stash. That was...
2
that wasn't
kilometers,
as long. That was
six,
only like 6 kilometers, but it was a kilometer elevation gain.
Okay.
So you're just constantly going up.
It's a 45-degree angle.
Pretty much. Very cool.
Breitling says it was too hot, too far, too strenuous.
There you go.
And it was highlighted on the BCGA, that's the British Columbia Geocaching Association Facebook page, to which Dora Moore says, very impressive stuff.
Well, thank you very much. It was quite the adventure. It was... I spotted the cache first, but we all decided to let Mrs. Land Monkey retrieve the cache, open it, and check that logbook. And it was quite the moment when we saw it was blank.
Who hit it?
Right?
Cachers in the Rye. Oh, that's hilarious name.
It is a hilarious name. Those guys are really well known in our area for doing difficult terrain hikes.
Impressive.
So, yeah.
You know, we might have to talk about that later. Well, I think we've just talked about it.
A little bit, but we can talk about it more at some other show. But yeah, that was quite the achievement.
Wow.
Pretty awesome to get an FTF after it sat for 4 years.
Four years. I mean, 4 years, you think, no, it will never be found. But
we were kind of really hoping that there wasn't somebody else's name who had forgotten to log it online or something. Like, we'd be really choked if that was the case.
Now, we had a couple of, this might have been several years ago, I haven't seen their name in a while, and I couldn't come up with it if you asked me. A couple of FTF hounds that never logged online. So, I mean, they never logged any of their caches. They were a geocaching member, but they just didn't log online. And so, you know, you'd go there, you think, well, nobody's found it. I'm going to go try. And their name would be on the log.
That's not nice.
Well, you know, it would be not nice if they purposely waited, but they never logged any of their caches. Right. So,
well, still,
I know.
You're kind of,
at least they're not breaking character for that, right?
Yeah. It's a good way to get a reputation anyways. Let's put it
exactly.
That way.
And I don't think I knew anybody who knew them. Anyway.
There you go.
Not the point. Let's see. Team Finn asks, is that considered a lonely cache for the Lonely Mountain Challenge?
I don't know.
4 years. Yeah, I think a lonely cache is at least 1 year, right? Minimum 1 year?
I don't know if there's a specific requirement for that. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that challenge cache. But it sounds like a good one for me to be familiar with.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk about our epic cache finds in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
I went out with the Camp Clan this past weekend and did some older caches in Seattle and surrounding areas. And some very highly favorited ones.
I thought you guys were really brave to go into Seattle this past weekend.
Well, brave or stupid?
There's a lot going on in Seattle.
Holy PAX. Cow. So we had PAX, which is a video game convention.
It is the video game convention.
Okay. Didn't know that. And, you know, we saw some people in cosplay. At least I hope they were. And also going on was Bumper Shoot at the Seattle Center, which is a large music festival.
Not a drive-by.
No. And also going on was Mariner Games every day.
Oh, my goodness.
So they expected 90,000 extra people in Seattle for the weekend. Now, for the most part, we avoided that. We did go down to Pike's Place Market. We thought we could get, you know, sneak in there as everything was closing up, but that wasn't necessarily the case. We got in, but it was busier than we had hoped for.
Mm. Cool. So, well, it looks like I saw some of the photos. Looks like you guys had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
You were in good company.
Exactly.
That makes a difference.
And so, you know, we each had different goals, you know, of targeting. I wanted to target those older caches. I like to before, you know, something happens to them.
Hmm.
So
like somebody steams all the gum off the wall.
Exactly. And yes, Team Finn, I got the gum wall cache. I found it. It was easy, you know, with only a little bit of help. All this time, I don't know how I missed it. Somewhere on the cache page, it says the cache is as big as an Oreo. Well, I was thinking the cache-advance.com nano gum cache, pre-chewed gum cache.
Yeah, those pink ones with the...
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, boy, that's going to fit right in with all this gum.
That would be impossible to find there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I had in my head the other times I went to find it. So,
right.
You know, changing my mindset. It was like, oh, there it is. So
what a difference that makes. Hey?
Yeah, exactly. That was fun.
Cool. So well, it sounds like you guys had a great weekend. I enjoyed seeing a few of the photos that you guys shared. The Camp Clan. Did you have a chance to see B Pendragon, or is he busy at PAX?
He was busy at PAX. We honked as we went under the convention center at him.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's helpful. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Wait. Who is this guy? In studio,
hey,
nonetheless.
The voice of the after show. If you leave a show doc open invitation, you never know who's going to crash your party.
Man, I've got to remember that.
Are we still doing anything? Am I too late for anything?
No, we're in the after show, man.
Oh, and so nothing good's happening then.
Oh, good stuff is happening.
I'm so glad you showed up because I get to say hello to you.
Well, hey, how are you, Peaches?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Tired. just pulled in the garage and fired up the computer, and here we are.
You know, I'll let you know. Before we went live, Peach almost wasn't going to do the show if you weren't here.
Wow.
She put down an ultimatum, and I ended up having to write her a check. It's in the mail.
Okay.
To get her to stay on the show.
Yeah, well. You know.
But now that you're here, maybe I can cancel that check.
All you have to do to earn a special place in her heart is show up to Safeco Field in Lederhosen. It's not hard.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of which, I should be at Safeco on the 23rd in Lederhosen again. So,
23rd, I do believe I'm working that night.
Okay, I'll try to come say hi. It's a day game, so we're going to dance early. So,
please do.
Is that October or September?
That's September. Yeah.
That's
okay.
That last home and stand.
Yeah, dude, this is the Mariners. October baseball, not a thing. I would love it for it to be a thing, but not so far.
Sorry, I forgot we were talking about the Mariners. Of course.
Let's see. The chat room asks a question. It's Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, there you
go. Speaking of Lederhosen. Apparently there are two of those beers in Team Finn's area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's referring to Saitos.
Probably, yeah. But, yeah. You know. And I have asks where the studio is. It's up there, of course.
Where it always is.
Because I just rolled in.
Nice.
And boy, are his arms tired.
That's right.
But I need a drum roll. I should add that to me.
I don't think I've noticed the motorbike behind you before.
It's because the studio wall's usually down.
Whose bike?
That's mine.
Oh, okay. So. Very cool.
Almost wrote it today. Didn't. Probably wrote it tomorrow. Oh. There, it's gone now.
And poof.
The garage door opener light times out. You don't know what's back there now.
It's a mystery. very cool.
So anything interesting happening tonight?
I don't know, but Robert, once you lift the veil on the studio, it's not quite the same afterwards.
Oh, well, so yeah.
We were talking about Auburn geocaching.
Do I need to do the whole transition for people? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No.
Okay. I figured it was the after show and it wouldn't matter.
It doesn't.
We talked about, obviously, the Auburn Geocaching Adventure 2017 and how great it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
And we've already had a conflict with the storm of the century last year, and that won't happen again.
Yeah. Not for 100 years.
Yeah, we got 100 years to wait on that one. So.
All right.
Let's see.
Well,
going to bid you gentlemen a good night, and thank you so much. And hope that you have a good rest of your week and weekend.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Have a good night, and we will definitely see you on the 30th, more than likely the 29th.
Excellent. I look forward to that.
Glad I got the chance to say hi.
Thank you. I'm glad too.
Take Bye-bye. Care.
Good night.
Night, Peach. All right, and with that, we should probably just wrap up the after show.
Well,
yeah, now that I'm here, there's nothing else to stay on the air for.
I'm done.
folks, thanks for listening. And until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.
Miss Bob, choose
73.